So good, we have a good number here this evening as we worship the Lord again together. We're thankful for this warmer weather, thankful for this time of year when things will slowly begin to warm up and bring on a new year, a new season, and as we marvel at the great handiwork of God and His creativity and how the seasons change in our creation, in our nature, and we marvel at that and marvel at all of His creation as we read in the book of Genesis. We're so thankful that He also preserved His word for us throughout these thousands of years so that we can know how to live this life. We know how to be prepared for what we'll talk about this evening, being prepared for Judgment Day and what that means as well. But before we begin our lesson tonight, let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we're so blessed in this life. We've been given so much. Things we have used properly, things we have misused. And we pray that You forgive us when we've misused the things that You've given to us as a free gift. We know that all that we have has been given to us freely, that we've not deserved any of the things that we've been given, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. We did not have to reach a certain standard of morality, a certain standard of righteousness before He would die, but simply die for the world so that any who come to Him would be saved. And we pray that maybe someone tonight who needs to make that decision come to the Lord and say, I want to receive the grace and mercy that the Lord provides. We're thankful that Your word has taught us these things. We're thankful we can be encouraged to do these things by fellow Christians. We're blessed by all those who are here tonight and what they mean to each other. We're thankful for these relationships and the fellowship we have. Bless us tonight as we study Your word. May we have a clearer understanding of the reality of Judgment Day, that it will happen, that we will all be judged. May we all look forward to the day that Your Son says, enter into the joys of Your Master. Continue to love us and forgive us. Give us mercy and grace. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been looking this, for the last week, we began a study of out of sight, but not out of mind. And we're just going to look at a few things over the next few weeks, a few topics that we do not have not experienced yet, or things that we think about we can't see. Now we keep thinking about them; they're on our mind. We open God's Word and study them, or we may have a discussion with somebody at work or somewhere else, and we talk about these things, but we can't see them. And that's where we start to have a lot of questions, and we start to speculate a lot. But as with anything in the Bible, we can have explanation of these things from the Bible. So we have to open it up, see what God's Word says. And tonight we're, as I mentioned in the prayer, we are looking at Judgment Day. What the Bible says about Judgment Day. And a few fundamental things as we begin is just simply starting with the reality of Judgment Day. So many people live in the world today who believe there will be no judgment. And they don't even like the word judgment. They don't like to be judged by others, of course, and I don't know that any of us really like to be judged. But they really don't like the idea that we'll stand before God one day and He will judge us. He will look at our lives. He will examine. He will investigate. He, of course, will always know the things that we have done, but there will be a time, a day in which that will ultimately happen. And probably the most recognizable verse related to this, and not really mentioning the day, but it simply says it is appointed once for man to die, and after this comes the judgment. That's about as plain as it can be. That in the day planner of every person, or on their phone, however they keep a schedule, that somewhere along the way there's going to be a time when we will die, unless the Lord comes while we're still alive. But for the overwhelming majority of people, there is an appointment that we have with death. And we don't want to say that out loud. We don't want to talk about it. But it is true. Death is reality. Death is very much a part of living as if any, as anything else is. The Bible says there's a day, an appointment coming that we have with death, and then after that, we will face judgment. And another very plain verse, a verse that comes at the end of a sermon by the Apostle Paul in what is called Mars Hill, a place that was Greek at the time, or Greek history, but had been known by its Roman name. And he has preached this long, this wonderful sermon about the how God created all things and how he put man on the earth in his appointed times and the boundary of his habitation. And he said, in him we live and move and exist. God is everywhere. He is not distant. He is not out there somewhere. He is beside us. He is with us every day. And he ends this, and the closest thing we have in the Bible to what we do in terms of an invitation, ending a sermon with a chance for people to respond to it. Ending a sermon with the idea of heaven and hell and judgment and so forth. And he said at the end of this sermon, he simply said, he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, obviously Jesus, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So we have two specific days on the calendar, so to speak. Hebrews tells us that was appointed once for a man to die. There's somewhere on that calendar, there's going to be that last day in which we will leave this earth. And then Paul said there's another day, there's a fixed day in which the world will be judged. And notice here, we'll get to this in a little bit later, but it says, Paul said he has fixed a day. There's one day, there's one judgment day. There are not billions of judgment days. Nowhere in Scripture is judgment day plural. There's one day when that will all happen, and that's significant to our understanding of judgment day and what that will be like and some of those things around that. Well, when is it going to happen? I mean, the Hebrews says it's going to come after we die, but that doesn't tell us much. When exactly, though, is judgment day going to happen? Because we know the Lord's going to come back. And that's when the day is going to happen. But when is that day? Matthew 24:36, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, but of that day, already referencing judgment day, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So if you ask Jesus, if Jesus were speaking in 2,000 years ago, somebody said, okay, when are you coming back? I want to know the exact day, the exact minute, and I'm going to be ready. Jesus would say this. He would say, I don't know when I'm coming back. He says, the angels of heaven don't know when I'm coming back. You know who only knows when I'm coming back? God the Father. It was God the Father's will that I came to earth in the first place. It's going to be God's, the Father's will that I come again, not all the way to this earth, but to receive man and when judgment day will occur. He said, that's that hour, that day, nobody knows. And so when you see somebody on television or you read something that somebody wrote where they said, the Lord is coming back on this day. I figured out this math equation. I figured out with some numbers and symbols in the book of Revelation that the Lord is going to come back on this particular day. You notice that all the people who made those predictions have all failed. They all were wrong. And the next person that does that is going to be wrong too, because Jesus said, no one knows. There's not a mystery somewhere in Scripture. There's not some trick in there. There's not a puzzle that we can piece together and figure it all out. And there's a lot of reasons for, you know, you speculate as why would that day, why would Judgment Day be so mysterious in a sense? Why wouldn't we know? Wouldn't it be better if everyone knew when the Lord was coming back? Well, I don't know that it would be better when you really think about it. Wouldn't it be the case that if we all knew when Jesus was going to come, if we all knew when Judgment Day was going to be, that we would sort of live a life very worldly in the meantime, until we got closer and closer to that day, and then we would all just kind of straighten up and do what's right? It seems like you would have much more of a longer life of faith, which God wants, if you didn't know when the Lord was going to come back. Now, that's speculation. That's just me thinking out loud. There's nothing to base that on. But it's just one potential reason for that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Again, not unannounced. There won't be anything to figure out. There's no way for us to know. Thieves do not announce when they're coming. They want to surprise you. They want you to be off guard. They want you, and we know in other passages, says that when the Lord comes again, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he says it's going to be instant. It's going to be like labor pains upon a woman. He says some are going to be talking about peace and safety. They're going to say everything is great. Nothing is wrong. Everything's fine. He said that's when the Lord will come. So the Bible says it actually won't be something we'll even see coming at all. It's going to be the other end of that. It's going to be very much unexpected. Judgment, and this is very, very important. Judgment cannot happen until after the resurrection. Again, let's think about this for a second. If there is only one judgment day, which the Bible makes it very clear, there are not judgment days. If there's only one judgment day, then the resurrection has to happen first. Now, the resurrection hasn't happened. The Lord hasn't come back for us to meet Him in the air as described in 1 Thessalonians. Where it says the dead in Christ will rise first and we will all meet Him in there. That hasn't happened yet, so I know there hasn't been judgment. You cannot have judgment day until you have the resurrection. You cannot skip the resurrection and have judgment. We don't just know that logically, we also know that from the Bible, the text itself. And that's the key thing that I think is often neglected in our study of this topic. Because we start thinking about the past. We start thinking about people who've lived a long time ago. We start thinking about where they are now. We start thinking about, well, they've already been judged. And you say, well, but you know, time doesn't exist really in the afterlife. And so things go by fast and all those kinds of things. But it kind of boils down again to, has the resurrection happened yet? No, it hasn't. So has judgment day happened for anyone? And there are passages that relate to that. And I'm going to get my computer working anytime now. There we go. So that brings up the question about, what about those that have died already? If there hasn't been a resurrection, therefore it hasn't been the judgment day, then what about those that have already gone on? Well, we looked at angels last week. We studied about some angels, the Bible says, that had free will. They sinned and they were cast down. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, the one chapter book of Jude, verses 6 and 7, talk about those angels that have sinned. It says they are reserved for judgment. They're reserved. They're in a place of being reserved for judgment because of these angels who have sinned and been cast away. We know Luke chapter 23, Jesus is on the cross. And he talks to the man who had recognized who Jesus was, the man who said, we deserve to be here, but Jesus does not. And then finally, Jesus looks at that man and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now some people think, well, paradise, heaven, heaven, paradise, and so forth. But again, I think it's very particular that Jesus uses that term, paradise. You'll be with me in a place of goodness. You'll be with me in a place where there is no pain and so forth. But again, the resurrection hasn't happened yet, even for that man. Who will be the judge on judgment day? You say, well, that's an obvious one. We don't have to discuss that too much. Romans 14, 10. For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 is the one maybe more familiar. We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which means that I will not judge you one day. Your parents will not judge you. Your neighbors will not judge you. Your best friends will not judge you. The person who loves you the most and likes you the most and gives you all the benefit of the doubt in the world is not going to be the one who will judge you for eternity. And the person who despises you and wishes you would be condemned, that person will not judge you one day. It won't be me, it won't be anybody else, but only the Lord. And really, that's the best. He is the perfect judge. Because that person that gives you the benefit of the doubt, loves you more than anything else in the world, the person that gives you all the credit, gives you all the mercy, gives you all the grace, they only know you so much. They still only know so much about you. And the person that despises you and can list all the bad things that you've ever done in your life, and he wishes that you would be condemned, that person only knows you so much. We know the Bible tells us that God, that man looks at the outward appearance rather, but the Lord looks at the heart. He has a perspective on each person that human beings cannot have for each other. He knows what you think, he knows what you feel, he knows everything. So he's the perfect judge. So I'm very thankful that Jesus will be the judge and not me, with limited ability, with limited perspective. What will be judged? Well, you say people will be judged. All of us will be judged. That's true. Matthew 26:36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Jesus said that. Jesus also said in John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, he has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. What do you do with the words of the Lord? Jesus said, the words I spoke, you'll be accountable for. And how did you respond to those things? How did you take those things to heart? Those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel will receive God's vengeance. The Bible in many places says, do not take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God, or depending on your translation, that type of phrasing. We know the wrath of God will come on those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel. That's a quote there from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior. That is why Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission, where he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why would he say that? Because the world is lost. Because the world does not know God and the world has not obeyed the gospel. If those people were saved, if those people could avoid the wrath of God, then Jesus wouldn't have said that. He would have said, stay at home. Leave them alone. They'll be saved anyway. If he says go and teach them, if he says go and baptize them, he says go make disciples of them, that means that's what they need to be saved. We think about this day of judgment. We do need to remember there's only one judgment day, not many judgment days. We will all be judged on the same day. And we start thinking about what of those who have gone on and so forth. I don't know how time works when this world ends. I live on a clock. You live on a clock. I don't know how much awareness someone will have between the day they die and the day they'll be judged. I just know they haven't been raised yet. We cannot skip the resurrection on the way to the judgment day. Judgment day is a demonstration of God's full nature. Judgment Day is really going to represent who God is to the fullest. It is going to represent his terrifying wrath. The Hebrew writer even said that. What a terrifying thing it is to be held in the hand of God. It will be a terrifying representation of his wrath to those people who have not known God, who have not obeyed the gospel, because sin must be punished. And they did not obey the gospel. They did not allow the Lord to take that punishment. Therefore, they must receive the punishment for their sins. It will also be a tremendous demonstration of what is unfathomable mercy, unfathomable grace, because Christians, those who have obeyed the gospel, are going to be saved. Those of us who have sinned in this life, who have disobeyed God so many times, will be allowed to go to heaven and experience the joy of heaven for eternity. We will be given something that we don't deserve, which is really kind of a fundamental definition of grace. We'll be thankful that we'll be able to stand there washed clean, because you can't go to heaven with sin. We'll be able to stand before God entirely clean, because Jesus took on the punishment. He took on what we deserved. And even though we sin, we'll be able to know the joys of heaven. Judgment Day is feared by the lost, but it is loved by the saved. It's feared by the lost. In Matthew chapter 10, what we call, some call the limited commission, is because that's the commission Jesus gave disciples while he was still on the earth. Not right before he left the earth, but for their work as they went out into cities to preach the gospel. Matthew chapter 10, he's telling them what to do, what to take with them, and so forth. And he says that you're going to be rejected by a lot of people in what you say and what you do. And he told them in verse 14, he says, you shake the dust off your feet. That's where we get that expression you may have heard. You know, shake the dust off. In other words, move on. Go to someone who's going to listen to you if they reject you. And then Jesus said this, truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Which tells us a couple of things. The judgment day for those who are lost is a terrifying thing. It also tells us the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, when Jesus said this, who had been dead a long time, had not yet seen judgment day. There's only one judgment day. He said, you think of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you think of how wicked those cities were. Think of what you would expect Judgment Day to be like for those two cities. And all those who reject the gospel will receive the same. They haven't been judged yet, but they're going to be judged on that day. But then we have those who look forward to the day of judgment. Now that's strange, again, because as human beings, we don't like that word judgment. But I know the Apostle Paul didn't have any problem thinking about Judgment Day. There in the last chapter, really, we have in chronological order that Paul wrote, he says, I fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, and it was laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord is going to give to me on that day. Anytime you see day of the Lord or of that day, that's always a reference to Judgment Day. Not just to me, but to all those who love his appearing. All those who love his appearing. He said, I'm going to love when the Lord comes back. And I'm not the only one. There's going to be people just like me who are Christians, who are disciples, and they're going to love seeing Jesus. They're not going to be afraid of it. Because when they see Jesus, they know they're going to live with Jesus forever. They're going to receive all the blessings of heaven. He said in Philippians chapter 1, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew there's going to be a day when he would die. Appointed once for a man to die and then the judgment. Apostle Paul said, for me, when I die, it's going to be a plus. It's going to be a gain. When you gain something, I mean, you get it, you receive it, you add it to your life. He said, for me to live on this earth is to live for Christ, and that's wonderful, and I want to be with those Philippians he was writing that letter to. I want to be with Christians. I want to mentor preachers. I want to establish congregations. I want to baptize people. I want to send letters to congregations and encourage them to be more faithful. That's great. And when I leave this earth, it's going to be a great gain. No Christian should be afraid of judgment. We should look forward to that day. Remember when Paul talked about grieving when someone is lost? He said we don't grieve as those who don't have hope. There's a certain kind of grieving that goes on for the lost. There's a certain kind of grieving that goes on for those who know they are saved and they know the one who has gone on is saved. And most of all, thinking about Judgment Day, we realize that Judgment Day is final. It's final. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. So the rich man who says is in torment, I believe that means he's being reserved for judgment. He's in a place being reserved for judgment, but he knows he's there. And he knows it's final. He knows he cannot go back and live his life again. He doesn't get two lives. He doesn't get six lives. He doesn't get 28 lives. And I can use a few for myself and a few for the Lord. He knew it because he said, he looked up to Abraham. He said, I want you to go tell my brothers who are on the earth about this. I want somebody to go tell them so they don't waste the time that they have. And Abraham said, no, they have everything they need. They have been given their Bible, the Old Testament. They knew about morality and ethics and all the things they need. They already have everything they need, just like you did. And you can't go back and hit redo. Can't serve the Lord in another life. When we reach that point of Judgment Day, it is final. That's why in Philippians chapter 2, Paul said that when everyone stands before the Lord, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Christ. You read that verse the first time, you think, wait a minute, I know a lot of people aren't going to confess. Yes, they will. It'll be too late. Because when you're face to face with the Lord, you're going to say, my Lord and my God, but it will be too late for many. Actually, for most, because Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. In Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, John talks about the finality of everything. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. Let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The spirit of the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. And all Christians would say, and with John in this point, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Those who love the Lord will love his coming. And the judgment day will be final. It will be the only one, and it will be the last one. We look forward to that. Maybe someone tonight who has not obeyed the gospel. Your body may be in the right place. You may be among good people who are faithful, not perfect people, but faithful people. But you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by confessing Christ, repenting of your sins, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Hopefully you'll do that tonight. Not wait any longer. If you need prayers tonight, we will pray with you, try to help you in that way. Anything that we can do, we encourage you to come now while we stand and sing together.